It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. Coming up, we'll talk to one of the owners of a social gaming store in Eau Claire. He'll explain what social gaming is and how he's trying to build a community around gaming. First, four United States senators, including Wisconsin's Tammy Baldwin, unveiled legislation today that would set new safety regulations for trains hauling crude oil throughout the country. The bill comes in response to the increase of crude oil traveling on the nation's rails. The American Association of Railroads reports that nearly 500,000 rail carloads of crude were on the move in 2014, way up from just over 400,000 in 2013. In addition, several high-profile fiery derailments have also drawn attention to the issue, but the bill faces an unclear future in Congress. Here to talk more about what's in the legislation is Alan Stankovitz. He's a member of Citizens Acting for Rail Safety, or CARS, and he consulted with Senator Baldwin's office on the new legislation. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's start with a bit of the why. Why Senator Baldwin and others are introducing this bill. Now, we heard some of the numbers there, but why are we seeing so much crude oil being moved through the nation by train?
Well, why has to do with economics, really. We've got the Bakken region out in North Dakota, which has got a lot of oil that is a fracked oil, so it's a very thin, volatile oil, and it has to go somewhere. There's no refineries in North Dakota, so that oil has to go somewhere, and as far as pipelines, there really aren't any pipelines available to transport this oil. So a lot of it is being transported by rail across the United States, a lot of it going to the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, and also the West Coast to refineries.
Now, when we see images in the media of some of these derailments, the crashes with the fire, there's often these billowing clouds, so that's an issue of volatility. How does this bill get at the issue of the oil's volatility?
Well, that's the great question here, because if we go back just a step, the Department of Transportation, PHMSA, Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, came out with proposed rules last year that would address the trains carrying this oil, but they did not address the volatility. And, you know, this is a multifaceted problem. We're talking about tank cars that need to be replaced. We're talking about rail infrastructure that needs to be looked at, as well as the oil volatility. And the proposed rules from the DOT, which have been delayed, by the way, do not address that. So we thank Senator Baldwin for putting this into the legislation, because it is a piece that has been sorely missed. And basically, what it boils down to, and I hate to use that term, is really there's a lot of dissolved gas in this oil from the Bakken region. It's they call it the champagne of oils. And this oil is extremely volatile. It contains a lot of gases that will ignite even at low temperatures. And since there are no refineries in North Dakota, this oil is basically taken out of the ground without any refinement and dumped into these tank cars. So these tank cars are going down the tracks, and as long as they don't fall off the tracks, there's no incidents really to report. But as soon as something happens, that volatility comes into play and causes the large mushroom clouds of flame that you see on TV. If they took those gases out ahead of time, you wouldn't see that kind of explosion. And so that's the bottom line. North Dakota has come out with their own conditioning, they call it, of the oil that will make a minor adjustment to the volatility, but has no real teeth. And we need the teeth. We need to get that volatility out of the oil. And this legislation would at least put guidelines in place for PHMSA to come out with some meaningful regulations that would reduce the volatility of that oil.
And we got to talk about the train cars themselves. Some of these cars are older models. What does this bill call for as far as changing the structure of the cars?
Well, the cars we're talking about, they're called DOT 111s, and they've been on the rails for many, many years, and the NTSB has been screaming since the 1980s that they need better protection. So some of these cars that are carrying oil are these older type of DOT 111s, but the Association of American Railroads, the AAR, in October of 2011 came out with new rules that made the cars a bit beefier, and these are called CPC 1232s. And those models, of course, have been involved in gosh, we've had 5 major derailments, accidents, fires since the beginning of this year, and at least in 3, if not more, of those incidents involved CPC 1232s. This was a voluntary new standard tank car, but it still falls short. So part of this legislation would be to go for a much beefier tank car with 9/16-inch shells and thermal protection and protection for valves and so forth. One of the main key ingredients, I feel, for these DOT 111s that would become now DOT 117s is thermal protection, because if you get thermal protection around those tank cars, if there is a fire, it would prevent the contents from boiling right away. It would give the firefighters, first responders, some time to get in there if they have foam available to put out the oil fire before the tank cars start to get so hot that they begin to explode, and that's what causes those large fireballs.
We're talking right now about new proposed oil train safety legislation with Alan Stankovitz from Citizens Acting for Rail Safety. And Alan, you mentioned first responders. Now, they factor into this legislation as well. What would the bill provide for when it comes to equipping responders and communities to deal with disasters should they happen?
Well, this would authorize funding for the first responders for training, equipment, and preparedness. And this is something that's sorely needed. Most of the first responders are not adequately prepared for this. And if you look at what's happened so far this year, in most cases, their first rule of thumb is to get the area evacuated. And then they just pretty much leave it burn because they don't have the equipment or the resources to really do anything more meaningful than that. And, you know, there's a few places that might have foam trailers, which is what you need. You need the special foam to put out an oil fire. So this legislation would give the first responders the training and equipment to make a meaningful impact on these accidents if and when they occur.
And what about accountability measures? Are those built into this legislation?
Yes, that is another big deal, too, because there needs to be accountability not only from the standpoint of the railroads themselves, but also the petroleum industry, because they lease or own the tank cars. So this would definitely put the onus on both of them to do things more safely. And, you know, the railroads are, you know, making a lot of money off of the transport of this oil, but they are also mandated to ship this oil. But the thing that we're finding is that the rail infrastructure across the United States really needs to be beefed up as well. There's a lot of old bridges. A lot of these accidents occur due to track failures, and these are things that we need more inspections. And the FRA, the Federal Railroad Administration, just doesn't have, I think they have like something like 78 and 76 inspectors for like the whole United States, and only 6 are bridge inspectors, most of whom are not certified. So this bill would also not only, cause more meaningful legislation for mandating, these rail lines to actually pay for any type of infringements or infractions on this, but it would also fund the FRA to actually do better inspecting, which is another big part of it.
So if an accident does happen with one of these oil trains, there's going to be a bill for the cleanup and all of the things involved in that. How does this bill account for liability issues?
Well, that's another key piece of this. You know, if we go back to what happened in Lac-Mégantic, Quebec, Canada, where 47 people lost their lives, the rail company that was actually transporting that train went bankrupt and basically left Canada to foot the bill. And so one of the things that has not really been looked into, there's a lot of things that from a railroad standpoint, are kept secret from us. We don't know how much liability insurance they have. Well, we need to know this, and we need to make sure that those rail companies that are carrying this kind of volatile product have enough liability insurance to cover a major disaster. And this legislation also mandates, or will actually look into how much insurance they have and then come up with guidelines to make sure that they are covered.
Now, and as we wrap up here, Senator Baldwin is one of 4 Democratic senators behind this bill. Now, Republicans at this point have the majority in both houses of Congress. With that in mind, Is this bill a non-starter, or do you think this has the potential to gather bipartisan support?
I think it has potential to gather bipartisan support because we're talking about the safety of our citizens. That, you know, it needs to be, and why wouldn't it be bipartisan if we're talking about making sure that our citizens are kept safe? This is all about safety, and it shouldn't be bipartisan. You know, granted, I'm sure there's going to be lobbyists from the oil and railroad industries that are going to be not too pleased about this, but we really need to put the welfare of our citizens first, and it should not be a bipartisan issue.
Alan, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been talking about new proposed legislation on oil train safety with Alan Stankovitz. He's with the group Citizens Acting for Rail Safety.